Support for NPR comes from the Cy Sims Foundation, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts since 1985. CySimsFoundation.org.
Good evening and welcome. It's KVC Arts, a program dedicated to arts and entertainment in our region, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Tonight, mixing culinary arts into the arts and entertainment, we have Julian Miller speaking with Jeannie and Forrest O'Neill, owners and operators of Festivity Ignition, event planning and event services, also object manipulators, fire spinners. I spoke with Murray Heppner about the Lewis Family Playhouse and the upcoming season for the Main Street Theater Company that starts this month with a very local adaptation of Aesop's Fables. We'll also hear from Lillian Vasquez about a number of events in the area that KVCR is either presenting or sponsoring. KVCR's Rick Dulock recently spoke with Diane Mitchell, past president and current artistic director for the Hemet Community Concert Association. We'll hear about their season. First, though, Rick also spoke with Stephen Thomas, curator at the Ontario Museum of History and Art, about El Día de los Muertos, a Day of the Dead exhibition, and a number of activities around it. That kicks off this edition of KVC Arts.
I'm Rick Dulock. You are listening to KVC Arts. I'm here today with Stephen Thomas, curator at the Museum of History and Art. This is in the city of Ontario. We heard about a great exhibit that's coming up, but first, Stephen, could you tell me a little bit about the history of the museum there in Ontario?
Yes, this museum has existed since 1979. It's a public-private museum operated by the City of Ontario with support from its museum associates. We serve the community through collections and exhibitions and programs, and generally everything is free to the public.
Well, that's fantastic. And for October and into the very early part of November, tell us about what's coming up.
Well, we're really excited about El Día de los Muertos, Day of the Dead exhibition. This is something that the museum has presented annually for several years, going back into the 1990s. What it is it provides an opportunity for local artists to put up their interpretations of celebrating the spirits of dearly departed loved ones. It includes altars, artwork, paintings, sculpture, just a whole range of different artistic expressions. Very colorful. It's educational. A lot of folks in this area aren't aware of the full context of the Day of the Dead celebration. And this is our opportunity to turn on some lights in people's minds and get them involved with a celebration of life through art and through this museum.
And is there a way that folks, through this particular exhibition, get to learn about the history of the holiday, or is it just the art is out for them to see?
We provide some interpretive panels, and we have a glossary of terms that are typically used. This is an ancient holiday. It's centuries old. It started in Mexico with Aztecs and just recently has become very popular in Southern California in the last 10, 15 years, giving an opportunity for bringing some of this culture back into our daily lives. And in addition, there's this type of ancestor celebrations this time of year, kind of on a global basis. Many cultures around the world celebrate sort of a ancestor worship at this time of year.
This one particularly relates to us here in Southern California, since we're so close to the roots of Mexico and I guess to the Aztec culture as well.
Oh, absolutely. There is a real excitement about contributing artwork and being part of this celebration. It's a very exciting time for people. They have an opportunity to provide public tributes to those loved ones that have passed away recently. And going back into further in time, we've had tributes to historical figures. We've had tributes to the family pet. It's a whole range of honors towards people and things they've loved.
It says in the information that I have that more than 20 artists will be exhibiting their artwork. Can you tell us about a little bit about maybe some of those artists?
Yes. Since we've been doing this so long, we've had many people have returned year after year, and they provide us with new interpretations. We have one artist who creates this massive altar. Last year it was about her father. This year is about her mother. And last year was very masculine, and there were gardening tools and structures. And this year it's very light and colorful, and it's all about the loving, nurturing environment that her mother created. So we have these turns of interpretation. There's another person that has brought in a wheelchair that was part of her husband's mother's life for 8 years. She suffered a stroke, and this is a very touching piece and includes hand-painted stereo unit, 1960s stereo unit, and painting on the wall. Oh, it's something to behold. And another returning artist is creating a cascade of 6,000 calaveras made out of tissue paper, various colors, and this will flow out into the floor and take up about half of a gallery. And These 6,000 calaveras represent the souls of the people that have lost their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan during the last several years of war over there. So there's this range of the sorrowful side, but it's also uplifting at times, because we have this culture of laughing in the face of death and welcoming spirits back with tributes such as personal items and drinks and candles and the whole nine yards on that. So there's this dichotomy of, oh, it's sad, but it's happy. We're going to be visiting with our loved ones through this exhibition.
Also, there's a mask-making contest that some of the entries will also be on display?
Yes, we have the winners from the mask-making contest. There were over 200 masks submitted in this contest, and they were presented through the City of Ontario's Community and Public Service Agency collaboration, which includes this museum, Museum of History and Art Ontario, the City Library, and Recreation and Community Services Department. So essentially, we have 31 winners. What we've done is we've integrated these winning masks throughout the galleries to sit side by side with artwork by established artists. This way, we're giving every artist an equal treatment. So everyone has equal standing. And it has turned out as a beautiful piece. The whole exhibition has been orchestrated really well.
Maybe that's a good segue, talking about the masks, into other programs that the museum takes part in or introduces throughout the community throughout the normal year. Can you tell us about some of the other things?
Yeah. Of course, the first event that we have associated with the Day of the Dead is the reception on October 5th from 1:30 to 3:30. And then following that, on October 26th, we have a Family Discovery Day. And the Family Discovery Day is a tradition that this museum has. We have them twice a year, once during the fall and once during the winter. The winter event is celebrating the Chinese New Year. And these Family Discovery Days are open to all the public. We have stations, educational craft stations. We have artists that demonstrate skilled applications of artwork. For instance, at the Day of the Dead Family Discovery Day, we have Jesus Cruz Jr. demonstrating linoleum block printing, and all of the people that participate with him receive a print pulled off from one of his linoleum blocks. And the other artist at Day of the Dead Family Discovery Day is Linda Smith. She demonstrates the wonderful craft of making papel picados, which, as you know, are these beautiful tissue paper forms that have cutout shapes, sometimes with flowers, sometimes with calaveras, sometimes with various geometric designs. And typically they're hung across ceilings or across doorways, and they're quite beautiful and colorful.
So that's connected to the Dia de los Muertos part of the year during your exhibit there. What other programs do you have throughout the year, maybe that involve kids or other people in the community?
We have a very active docent program, and many school groups take advantage of that. We have a wonderful history wing with the whole history of Ontario depicted through artifacts and interpretation. throughout the year, we have films, we have public speakers, and generally we have, I would say, two programs per month. They generally have something to do with the particular exhibit it's on, or it's of special interest.
I'm Rick Dulock. You're listening to KVC Arts. We're speaking with Steve Thomas, the curator at the Museum of History and Art in the City of Ontario. To find out more about the programs and the operation, you can visit them online at www.ci.ontario.ca.us. We'll repeat that at the end of the interview. Click on the links, departments, and museum to find out more about what's going on at the Museum of History and Art in the City of Ontario. How do you support the operation, Steve? Is it through fundraising? Do you have a development department? How does that work?
We're a small department of the City of Ontario, and most of our support is through the city. However, we have a very active board of directors, a nonprofit board of directors called the Museum Associates. Typically, they have one fundraiser per year. Every other year, it's a sit-down treat with food and entertainment. The other year is an open call to artwork. And yes, this is the opportunity for artists to submit artwork to be exhibited in our galleries. They pay a small fee for this, but they're provided with exposure in professionally run gallery. And the winners from the open call for artwork are asked to come back the following year for an invitational art exhibit, which is quite exciting because the winners then get an opportunity to have much of their artwork shown, up to 11 pieces of their artwork.
Very nice. Steve, thanks so much for joining me today. We look forward to coming out and seeing the El Día de los Muertos, Day of the Dead exhibition at the museum, which started on October 3rd and runs through November 3rd.
Thank you, Rick, for the time.
All right.
And really appreciate it.
Have a great exhibition.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Steve Thomas, curator at the Museum of History and Art in the City of Ontario. We were talking about the El Día de los Muertos exhibition, which started on October 3rd and continues through November 3rd. The museum is open Thursday through Sunday from noon to 4 p.m. Admission is free. Again, you can visit the city's website, www.ci.ontario.ca.us. Click on Departments and Museum to find out more about the programs there. Again, it's open Thursday through Sunday from noon to 4 p.m. And that particular exhibition ends on November 3rd. I'm Rick Dulock for KVC Arts. Thanks for listening.
Later in the program, we'll join Rick again in conversation with Diane Mitchell, past president and current artistic director for the Hemet Community Concert Association. We also have Julian Miller speaking with Jeannie and Forrest O'Neill, owners and operators of Festivity Ignition, event planning and event services, food and entertainment with these folks. We'll hear from Lillian Vasquez about a number of events in the area that KVCR is either presenting or sponsoring. Also, I spoke with Murray Hepter about the Lewis Family Playhouse and the upcoming season for the Main Street Theater Company. That's all just ahead on KVC Arts.
You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, also online at kvcr.org. I'm Jessica James. We've just wrapped up our fall membership campaign here at KVCR, and we'd like to say thank you if you were able to pledge. If you didn't get a chance to, we'd still welcome your membership. Go online to kvcr.org or call 877-512-8843. That's 877-512-8843 or kvcr.org. And thanks.
I'm David Fleming with you for KVCR. It's a program dedicated to arts and entertainment in our region, as well as the people and places providing it. Thanks for joining us. Later in the program, KVCR's Rick Dulock in conversation with Diane Mitchell, Artistic Director for the Hemet Community Concert Association. Also, Julian Miller speaks with Jeannie and Forrest O'Neill, owners and operators of Festivity Ignition, event planning and event services. Also, object manipulators, fire spinners. We'll hear from Lillian Vasquez about a number of events in the area that KVCR is a part of. Up next, let's talk about local theater opportunities. In this case, the Lewis Family Playhouse in Rancho Cucamonga. This is the venue for the Main Street Theater Company. and much more. I recently spoke with Murray Hepner, artistic director.
At the venue, we have basically four different things that we do. So one of the things is the Main Street Theater Company, which is our professional theater company, and we do shows for family audiences. So that's one component. We have a specialty series, which is a presented artist series, where we have people like Winona Judd is opening our season this year.
Really?
And we have comedy and dance and those kinds of things. And those are usually one-night shows that tour, that come around, that we present. So that's one part of what we do. Then we also have other producing entities, which are non-union. So we have the Rancho Cucamonga Community Theater. Local residents get a chance to participate and be on stage. And then there's also another component of that, which is called Broadway at the Gardens, which is also usually a musical, one show a year, that is also non-union, that is mostly local performers. And then, again, the venue also does a lot of rentals. Anytime we don't have something on stage that we're either producing or presenting, someone's renting the space.
Now, this is a relatively young theater, all things considered.
Yes, we're about to start our eighth season.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so one of the things that happened, and this is a little bit before my time, but the city did a feasibility study, and one of the things that the residents really wanted in the new Performing Arts Center that was going to be built was family programming. The residents really, really wanted something for the kids.
Sure.
So the Main Street Theater Company was born from that desire of the city residents. And as I said, it's our professional company, and we do shows for families on the weekends, but we also do school shows during the week. So twice a day, we do shows for 3 weeks for school kids.
Oh, nice.
So it's, something, it's really something that the community wanted, and it was one of the things that the city emphasized when they were building the building.
Also on the website, the Paul Bian Library will be offering complimentary exhibits and programs to enhance the theater-going experience. Tell me about this aspect of the shows at the theater. What type of workshops or exhibits or programs go on that go with the theater?
It really depends on the show. The library and the theater share the building. So the Victoria Gardens Cultural Center consists of the library, the theater, and an event hall that we rent out for parties and classes and other things. So depending on what shows are going on in the theater, the library often does a display in their space that kind of ties in with the shows. So, for example, a couple years ago, Main Street did a production of A Wrinkle in Time. So the library did a big display of all the other Madeleine L'Engle books in their library. Sometimes when we do shows for younger kids, we'll tie it in with some storytelling in the library's story room. But it really depends on the programming in the theater and what the library is already doing. And sometimes we collaborate.
What do you think that your biggest show to date, whether this is your personal favorite or maybe one that you found out that, oh my gosh, it was packed for 4 weeks solid and you had to add another 2 weeks?
I wish we could say that. The Main Street shows are all my babies, so
sure.
I love all of them. I would say that our biggest show to date, or the one that got the most acclaim to date, was A Wrinkle in Time, which was an adaptation of that wonderful book that we all read in sixth grade and fell in love with. And it was a huge, beautiful production. It looked, if you looked at it, it looked like it was like an opera. And it was nominated for 4 Ovation Awards from the LA theater community.
Nice.
And actually won one for sound design. So I would say of all of them to date, that's probably the one that we've gotten the most response. But at the same time, just the opposite, last year we did a production of Pinkalicious, the musical, which was geared to little girls, and it sold out its 3-week run, and moms and kids came and all dressed in pink and had a wonderful time. So it's kind of the opposite ends of the spectrum. We do really beautiful, sophisticated work, and we also do more geared for the younger kids as well.
Excellent. The easiest way for folks to stay in touch with the theater, to know about what's going on, do you send out e-blasts or should we just remind people of the website?
We do both. So the Lewis Family Playhouse website has a lot of information, and then we do e-blasts about all of the programming at the Playhouse. We also do special e-blasts just for the Main Street Theater Company, has its own e-newsletter. So you can sign up for either one. You'd get email blasts about everything that's going on, or just specifically if you're a family and you're only coming to Main Street, you can sign up for that newsletter as well. And Main Street also has a Facebook page, so there's more up-to-the-minute things that happen on that. And the Playhouse also has a Facebook page. Main Street Theater Company, all one word.
Okay. And then for the Lewis Family Playhouse?
That's lewisfamilyplayhouse.com.
lewisfamilyplayhouse.com. Okay. Let's talk about the season coming up. First of all, Aesop in Rancho Cucamonga. This apparently is a new adaptation set here in SoCal?
Yes. It's our first world premiere. I'm really, really proud of it. Very excited. We got a grant a couple of years ago to commission playwright Luis Alfaro to create a new version of Aesop's fables. And as Luis and I and the director, Robert Castro, were talking about what that could be, Luis came up with the idea of setting it right here in Rancho Cucamonga and using the nature and the history of the area as a kind of a jumping off point for his version of these stories. It's very exciting. He's an amazing, amazing nationally known writer. What Luis is doing is he's taken the idea of Aesop's fables, which are really morality tales. They're
sure.
tales about how to live your life.
Sure.
They're tales about how to treat other people.
Yeah, always
so
a lesson at the
concepts
end.
Of the Aesop's fables and making his own stories.
Gotcha. Okay.
That kind of tell the same morals that those familiar stories would tell. One of the reasons I wanted Luis to adapt the Aesop's fables mm-hmm. in the first place is because he's one of the most prominent Chicano playwrights in the country. And so many of our school kids who come to see the theater are Latino kids. And because Main Street's mandate is pretty much about doing adaptations of classic or contemporary children's literature, I wanted to do a play that really spoke to them. And even though I love doing all of the European stories that we do, I really wanted to do something that was for the Latino community. And so having Luis adapt these stories seemed like a really terrific way to really get into these kids' heads and their families, because there aren't a lot of plays that are written for them.
Had you had some sort of association with him in the past? And if so, or if not, how did this go about, you being able to contact him for this?
Yeah, so I had known Luis for a long time. We had never actually worked together, but mm-hmm. He used to be on staff at the Mark Dibber Forum Center Theater Group, and I had done some work there. Robert Castro, our fabulous, brilliant director, has also known Luis for a long time. So, and they had done a show together, actually a children's piece, at the La Jolla Playhouse back in 2002. So I actually talked to Robert first and said, what do you think of this idea of having Luis adapt this? And he thought it was a great idea. So I called Luis. I mean, he and I knew each other. So that was kind of how it started. And Robert's also Latino, which is also part of it. And our cast are all Latino. We have one woman in the cast, Amy Lynn Abelera, and five really brilliant Latino men. And we did that on purpose, again, so the kids could see themselves on stage, but also this idea that Aesop came from the Greeks, and so we have all these men as kind of our Greek chorus telling the story. It's very, very deep, actually, even though it's these tales that I think everyone thinks they know. Luis is an amazing poet. The different characters speak in different kinds of ways. And the story is really about a California bear, a cub, who comes down from the foothills, gets lost at Victoria Gardens, so it's very contemporary.
Aww.
And she loses her clan, right? They're looking for food, and she gets lost. And so the story is really her journey, and she meets what Luis is calling other elements, and learns about how to be with people. So she's going to meet some ants, and she's going to meet some cactus, and she might meet a lizard. One of the characters in the play is the moon. And Luis is very interested in the moon and how that means kind of renewal and coming back for another day. So the play takes place at night, and it ends in the morning. Yeah, this is the premiere. So we are the only people ever in the world doing it. Hopefully somebody will do it after us. But yes, this is its world premiere. And opening day is October 26th mm-hmm. at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And then it runs through November 10th on Saturdays at 1 and 4 and Sundays at 1.
That was Murray Heppner with the Main Street Theater Company at the Lewis Family Playhouse in Rancho Cucamonga. I'm David Fleming with you for KVC Arts. Later in the program, KVCR's Rick Dulock in conversation with Diane Mitchell, Artistic Director for the Hemet Community Concert Association. We'll also hear from Lillian Vasquez about a number of initiatives and events in the area that KVCR is a part of and how you can help the autistic community. Next, though, putting culinary arts into this arts and entertainment program. Julian Miller speaks with Jeannie and Forrest O'Neill, event planners and rawtarians, that is, consumers of and advocates for raw food. Now, they're also object manipulators, fire spinners. You may have seen this kind of thing at various music or art festivals, or maybe videos from Burning Man, or maybe at market nights in Redlands.
I'm here in the studio with Jeannie and Forrest O'Neill, owners of the Organic Circus Cafe and Festivity Ignition Catering, the Inland Empire's first and only 100% organic plant-based cafe. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Start out, what exactly does it mean for food to be raw?
This just means that it hasn't been heated above 113 degrees Fahrenheit, and therefore it has its enzymes and nutrition intact.
And what are the nutritional benefits?
Well, you see, when you cook your food, it destroys all of the enzymes and up to about 80% of the nutritional content. Enzymes are absolutely vital to your health. They contain the power of the life force itself. Enzymes are responsible for every metabolical process in the body. So everything like moving muscles, thinking thoughts, detoxifying, repairing your cells, it's all done through the use of enzymes. One analogy is to think of your body as a computer, and then the enzymes would be the electricity. Without enzymes, there would be no activity.
When did you first begin making raw creations, and how did this evolve into a business?
We just really love food, honestly. Before we had this business, we would put a lot of thought, time, and love in each and every meal we prepared for ourselves. We were unemployed, so we had a lot of free time, and we just got down in the kitchen on a regular basis. We originally planned to serve just cooked vegan pizza at our booth. About a week before we actually started at the Redlands Market Night, we came across a piece of information in a book that mentioned how raw foods are living foods and give speed to your spiritual growth. That same night, we did some of our own research online and then decided to change our diets and literally overnight go 100% raw. We were already vegan at that point, and we had already brought the oven for our business, and so we sold that, and we just felt really compelled to share the knowledge of raw foods with the world. So we sold the oven and created a whole new business that's 100% raw and vegan, and came up with a new menu and went from there.
Fantastic. And how long have you been running the Organic Circus Cafe? Also, what do your titles as culinary and performance artists entail?
This is our third year in business, and we are both object manipulation performers, specifically fire spinners. So we sell our catering as dinner and a show, which is where that title comes from.
Very cool. What can a person expect to see if they come to one of your shows?
Well, we promise to be as colorful and flavorful as our food.
Jeannie and I both spin poi, which is basically two chains with fireballs at the end. And I also do meteor, which is a long rope with two fireballs. I also do flower sticks, three sticks, and one stick has flames on the end. And I also do fire nunchucks.
And I spin with a contact juggling ball. It's a ball that's literally on fire, and I roll it across my body, kind of like David Bowie in The Labyrinth.
Where and when do you set up your booth?
We set up our booth at the Redlands Market Night every Thursday night on State Street from 6 to 9 p.m., only during the warm weather seasons, however. And that's because people generally don't want raw food in cold weather. We also vend at other yoga, music, and art festivals across California.
And so you talked a little bit about your performance aspect. What can your customers expect to look forward to from visiting your booth on a weekly basis?
Well, we often change up our menu just to keep things new and exciting. We offer fresh juices, smoothies, entrees, and desserts. It's all 100% organic, raw, and vegan, free of gluten, soy, processed sugars, and all GMOs. That was a commitment we made this year to be completely free of GMOs. So have no fear, it's happening.
People might get the idea that a raw diet is somehow lacking in variety, especially certain nutrients like protein. Could you talk some about how these are misconceptions?
The truth is, a lot of traditional food dishes can be mimicked with raw foods. For example, we make raw and vegan cheesecakes, cookies, and pizza. Raw foods have a lot more nutrition and therefore more flavor. There's a lot of variety when it comes to raw foods.
Someone who eats a lot of meat or likes to get a lot of protein in their diet, how might they still be able to get those nutrients from a raw diet?
Well, we actually cover this in detail in our nutrition workshops, but the truth is people generally need a lot less protein than they are told, and excess protein is actually very harmful. One can find plenty of protein as a vegan as long as they're eating plenty of nuts and seeds and algae. As backup, you can eat brown rice protein powder and hemp seed protein powder. You can make sure that you never have a lack of protein, but that's really only a concern for people who are extreme athletes.
And if you just can't pass up a hot cooked meal, how can you still have raw food prepared warm?
Well, you can use a dehydrator to gently warm the food, or you can use spices like cayenne that have a warming effect. And this is how we make our raw cookies in the dehydrator, and they're really good warm and fresh.
Is there any raw cuisine that you particularly enjoy or that you think might surprise people?
Well, I have a huge infatuation with all of our raw pastas and the raw lasagnas. We serve things like that are familiar to people, including a raw garlic bread that is gluten-free. Yeah, there's a lot of things that can surprise people because basically any type of dish you've ever had can be created in the vegan style and even in the raw style as well. So it's all about getting creative. You know, fresh pressed juice is very transformative to your health, and pretty confident that basically any human would enjoy it.
And if someone was interested in going raw, what suggestions might you make for transitioning into the diet?
Well, again, this is a topic we cover at length in our nutrition workshops. Number one thing is you got to detox your body. That's probably one of the most overlooked aspects to health. You know, we constantly, change the oil in our cars. We brush our teeth, things like that. But we never really take care of the inside of our bodies. And you can do that through juice fasts, the Master Cleanse, colonics. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to really get that gunk out. But until you do, you're not going to be able to do well on the raw food diet because raw foods naturally release toxicity. And the transition can be a little bit painful if you don't step it up and do a detox before you switch your diet.
You have to really clean out your body before it's equipped to handle and even utilize all the raw foods.
And what about if someone wanted to, say, incorporate a certain amount of the raw diet and also keep parts of their diet that they're used to?
Well, we believe that the true saying is that a salad a day keeps the doctor away. So we like to challenge people with just eating gargantuan amount of leaf and as often as possible, because truth be told, there's essential nutrients found only in green leaves that aren't found in your meat or dairy or any other food, really. Leaf is super important, and there's tons of enzymes in them. So if you just started eating massive salads with a non-heavy dressing, that would be amazing. Or get a juicer. Invest in your health. That way you don't have to spend your money at the doctor's office.
Sounds good.
Amazon has great deals on juicers right now.
Will you be doing any upcoming events outside of Market Night?
We have one more event scheduled for this fall in Simi Valley. But other than that, most of our festivals are in the spring or early summer. We are currently looking for investors to help us open a cafe here in the IE. We teach nutrition and food preparation classes at our home in San Bernardino. You can get a hold of us by phone. You can call us at 909-648-2403. Or you can find us on Facebook under Festivity Ignition. That's our business name. Or you can come down to Market Night on Thursdays and find our booth. It has the orange walls. Can't miss us.
And rate us on Yelp under Organic Circus Cafe. Website coming soon.
You also cater events. Can you talk about what that service offers?
As we mentioned before, we offer a fire show to go with our meal service and a variety of dishes to choose from, a lot of them mimicking ethnic and traditional dishes.
Including wedding cakes. We can do raw, gluten-free, unbaked, three-tiered wedding cakes.
Sounds delicious. What can someone expect from going to one of your events, and what sort of events do you have upcoming?
The soonest event that we have is called the Rhythm and Joy Festival in Simi Valley. Probably the last one of the season for us. We start up again in April doing a really cool transformative music event in Santa Barbara called Lucidity. And the events just get cooler throughout the year, honestly. So follow us on Facebook. We'll let you know where we'll be throughout the year. And we really just are all about community and building consciousness and healing through foods. And so these events that we're at are all about that. So if those topics interest you and you like to dance to cool music, then follow us and we'll show you some cool places to attend this year.
Sounds like a great time. You guys also offer nutritional classes.
Yeah, we do them at our home in San Bernardino. It's about a 4 to 6 hour presentation. It includes a 60-page booklet that you get to take home with you. We also prepare you a meal to show you what we can do with raw foods. The presentation is aimed for you no matter where you're at in your path of health, vegan or not. We don't tell you how or what to eat, but rather give you the information you need to be a conscious eater, which means you know what you're putting in your body. We offer a lot of information that you didn't know you didn't know.
Thank you, Jeannie and Forrest, for your time and coming in today.
Thank you.
Much gratitude, guys. Thank you. And come find us. We're ready to help you wherever you are on your path.
That was Jeannie and Forrest O'Neill, owners and operators of Festivity Ignition, event planning and event services. Thanks to Julian Miller for the interview. Just a bit later in the program, we'll hear from Lillian Vasquez about a number of events in the area that KVCR is a part of, also an opportunity for you to get some art and help out the autistic community. Just ahead, Rick Dulock checks out some regional music opportunities. Stay with us here on KVC Arts.
You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, also online at kvcr.org. I'm Jessica James. Thanks to everyone who made a pledge of financial support during our fall membership campaign. If you didn't get a chance to, it's never too late. Take 2 minutes right now and go to kvcr.org or call 877-512-8843. That's 877-512-8843 or kvcr.org. We thank you so much for your support.
I'm David Fleming with you for KVC Arts. Up in just a bit, KVCR's Lillian Vasquez and a number of events and initiatives in the region KVCR is a part of. Also, how you can help the autistic community. First, though, the Hemet Community Concert Association kicks off their season soon. We'll go back to Rick Dulock for that conversation.
Today, we're with Diane Mitchell, past president and now artistic director for the Hemet Community Concert Association. Thanks so much, Diane, for being with us here today. Can we talk about maybe a little bit about the history of the Hemet Community Concert Association?
I'd be happy to. The Hemet Community Concert Association was founded in 1972 as part of the nationwide network of concert associations that were part of the community concerts that were founded in the 20s in New York. That brought world-class artists to small towns that would otherwise not get to hear such artists. And so when I was growing up in Fullerton, I got to hear artists like Leontine Price and Earl Wilde without having to drive to L.A. And so it was a wonderful system, and we really have grown and enjoyed having this little niche of classical music right here in Hemet. In 2003, the year I became president, we became an independent presenter because the national network broke apart for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of the community concert associations are independent presenters, and we've had to scramble to figure out how to do it, but we landed on our feet and have thrived. I have to say that one thing that has really helped us, no, two things that have helped us. One has been working with various other community concert associations in the Southern California area. We share ideas, we share artists, we, you know, just really work together. And another thing that's helped is the Beverly Hills auditions. For the last 5 years, there have been these auditions in Beverly Hills where aspiring professional musicians, and some of them quite well established, come and play for an audience of presenters. And that's everybody from the guy who runs the concert series at the L.A. Carney Art Museum to people who run noontime church concerts to people who run community concerts and library concerts and so on. And so we all get to hear up to 100 different artists in that one day. It's very intense. But we really get exposed to a lot of interesting performers.
And then you have a lot to choose from as
Absolutely. And it gives these artists a chance to, you know, be heard and known. There's only so much you can learn from a website. You need to have that live experience before you can feel confident about booking someone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's talk for a minute then about the upcoming season. How many concerts do you have coming up this year?
We have 5 concerts. When we started, we only had 3, then we grew to 4, and now we have 5. And that seems to work really well. We go from October through May. Our concerts are always on Sunday afternoons. And our season this year starts October 20th at 2 o'clock p.m. with a young group based in Los Angeles called Quintessential Winds, which is flute, oboe, clarinet, French horn, and bassoon. and they are doing a delightful program. They're doing everything from music by Beethoven and Debussy to The Suite from The Little Mermaid, music by Samuel Barber, Dvorak, and John Williams' flying theme from E.T. We like to encourage young people to come to our concerts, so we admit anybody under age 22 for free.
Oh, it looks like there's something for everyone in this one that's going to kick off the season.
Well, we try, but we realize that our core subscribers, and we are all subscriber and patron supported, our core are diehard classical music appreciators. And so we try to have straight-ahead recitals by very accomplished musicians, but we look for musicians who are a little edgy, but, you know, we don't want all Shostakovich, but a little bit is okay.
Right, right.
So we're very excited about our January concert because this is an extremely well-known and acclaimed piano duo. They play piano four hands. They're called the Zofo, Z-O-F-O, Zofo Duet, and they were nominated for 2 Grammy Awards this year.
Wow, that's fantastic. And that is Sunday, January 26th at 2 p.m.
Right, yeah. Right. And they just, well, when people hear them and see them, they're gonna be amazed. They're phenomenal. So, and then we have coming up on February 16th, a very traditional violin, cello, and piano trio. This is a group I've been wanting to bring to Hemet for years, and it finally worked out. They're based in Wisconsin, and they're just very fine. And then on March 23rd, we have a flute and harp duo who are based here in Southern California. This is a group that I heard at the Beverly Hills auditions.
Okay.
It's called Arioso. And then we're ending with the San Diego-based Peter Sprague String Consort. They played for our scholarship benefit fundraiser in 2012, and everybody said, bring them back, so we have.
Isn't that nice? When people love their craft, they can make almost anything work.
Well, it's just good musicians know how to make good music, and you don't need to worry about genre.
Well, it sounds like a very exciting season. How is support for your association going right now?
Well, like any small nonprofit group, we always are looking for new people to join our board, and we're always looking for new subscribers and new patrons. But we are healthy. You know, we are growing and healthy. We just need to keep growing because it's kind of like a shark.
Right.
Keep moving. Or you won't do well.
Keep the water going over your gills.
Exactly, yeah.
So how can folks find out about more about the concerts that are coming up this year and get in contact with you if they
need to? Well, if they have the internet and would like to explore our website, the address is very easy. It's hemetconcerts.org. If they don't have the website, they can call me, 951-927-1775. I'm happy to talk to people about it. People can order tickets online with PayPal, or they can buy tickets at the concerts. Now, the thing that people need to know is that we are subscriber-based, so you can get all 5 concerts for $55.
Wow.
Which is a really good deal. But if you just want to buy one concert, that's going to cost you $25. And we do that on purpose because we want people to subscribe. We need that subscriber base to survive.
Absolutely. And if you're 22 years old or under, bring your ID and get in free.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. We have had, since we initiated this letting young people in for free, the word has gotten out. We've had more and more young people coming. And so that's been very gratifying.
Well, that's really awesome. And then perhaps they'll help you out in the future with some fundraising.
Well, that's the whole idea,
sure.
You know, that when they're 23, they'll subscribe, we hope.
Well, that's fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us today on KVC Arts.
And thank you.
We'll see you up there this year.
I hope so. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've been talking to Diane Mitchell, Artistic Director and past president of the Hemet Community Concert Association. You can find out more about the upcoming concerts this season by visiting their website, hemetconcerts.org, or by calling Diane at 951-927-1775. For KVC Arts, I'm Rick Dulock.
Thank you very much, Rick. I'm David Fleming with you for KVC Arts, dedicated to arts and entertainment in our region, as well as the people and places providing it. Up next, a conversation with Lillian Vasquez about a number of events and initiatives and artistic calendars which help support the autistic community. About 2 weeks ago, there was Walk and Rock Autism 2013. So explain, please, KVCR's association with the festival, and then separately, if you would, your involvement and, say, your personal investment.
Sure, I'm happy to. So KVCR has a autism initiative, and as part of that initiative, we try to get involved with other autism-related things going on in the Inland Empire. So the Autism Society, we partnered with the Autism Society, and we were part of the Walk and Rock Autism event. And so that allowed us to have a booth there, materials there to promote our autism programs, to let people know that you can listen to 91.9, and we sometimes have stories on autism, especially in the month of April. It just allows us to outreach and share some of the documentaries that we've done on KVCR, the television side. And the reason I'm there is obviously my personal investment in autism is my son and my family. So all of us were there working the booth and supporting the event. And then I actually walked a long walk. But it was fun. My son did it with me and it was great. It's just great to bring the community together to raise awareness. And I think the Autism Society probably raised some money on it. But it's about bringing families together where they won't be judged, where everybody, we all get it. If the child is acting out or having a meltdown, we don't stare at the other parents because we've been there. We know what it's like. It's like comfort. Don't worry about it. Is there anything we can do to help you? Do you need us to go get the other child or whatever it is? So it's just nice to be in a group of people that really understand autism and get it. It's also a resource fair, which is really nice. So if you're looking for services or therapies or wanting to know more about autism, if you perhaps just got the diagnosis, it's a great place to kind of interact. And then there's fun things for the kids to do too. There's music going on. There's a full concert, games and bubbles and things for the family to do. So there's something for everyone. I will say, if you allow me, Dave, our booth was probably the most popular booth, and that was because we had, well, you there doing our artwork, which was fabulous. People are talking about it. We put it on our Facebook, and it's just so great that we had that because you did puzzles, which is the symbol for autism because it's still a mystery of what causes it. And then you went off onto so many different things, and you did the koi fish, and you did the unicorn, and you did the
dragons and butterflies.
Yeah. Butterflies were really cool, I think. And it was great to watch you do it because some of the kids who typically can't sit for very long, and you worked with many of the autistic individuals, sat there and allowed you to do it. So it was really cool. It was a great experience for me as a mom watching you do it. So thanks for that.
It was really nice for me as well. This was my second year for being at the Rock Autism event. The festival has been going on a year or two longer than that. Last year, I'd actually asked if I could come do this. I said, hey, wouldn't this be neat? Maybe we can get some donations or something. And this year, apparently there were people talking about it and asking if I could come back. And so
right.
That was really nice.
Which was really nice. Right. And so they were probably looking for the tattoo artist. And what I really like about it, I know we use permanent markers, but it comes off in a couple of days. And I happened to go to a wedding that night, and I had my tattoo just blaring with my puzzle piece. So it's just fun, and I think it creates awareness. And just at the festival, people were talking, oh, where did you get that? Where did you get that? So that drove traffic to our booth.
Nice. And I really appreciate you talking about it, because since it's my artwork, I feel funny
talking about it yourself.
Or talking about it. Yeah. This is about the Autism Festival, and you can't have an Autism Festival around here or an Autism Resource Information Fair, if you will, without Lillian being involved in some sort. So KVCR was one of the sponsors of this Walk and Rock Autism 2013. There's also going to be a KVCR event coming up at Crafton Hills fairly soon.
It's actually Crafton Hills College Project, and what they're doing, it's called the Come to College Family Festival. So it's encouraging kids of all ages to go to this college event and learn more about college, just kind of experiencing being on the campus, showing children at an early age what the college looks like, getting them excited. KVCR will have a booth there again, and we'll be promoting our PBS Kids programs, which is a great place to watch television. It's a safe haven. It's where you learn good morals, good information on all of our kids programs, from Sesame Street to Clifford to some of the new shows that we have, Pagan Cat, which is all about math. We're going to have you there again.
Absolutely.
And hopefully this time you won't be drawing puzzle pieces, but you'll be drawing some of our PBS characters.
Now, also coming up is another event that KVCR is a sponsor of.
Right.
And that is the first annual Riverside Fall Festival. Tell us a little bit more about that. That
right,
also coming up very soon.
Right. So we're kind of busy. We do our best to, from KVCR's standpoint, to get out in the community. And I try to sponsor events going on throughout different cities. So it's not just Yucaipa or San Bernardino, but this one will actually be in Riverside. It'll be at the Fairmont Park. And this is their first time doing this. It's the IE Waterkeeper and the Santa Ana River Trust. And what they're doing is they're raising awareness about the Santa Ana River and its last 20 years of neglect. Mm. And then it's also to benefit environmental education. They're concerned about our world, our land, and our environment. So that's what this event will be. It's free for people to come. KVCR will have a booth there. Maybe you'll be drawing ducks this one, or
Absolutely.
Maybe leaves or something like that. So it's just our part, KVCR's, to, as the marketing person, to try and get out into the community and connect with more and more people that either watch us or listen to us.
Gotcha.
So, David, if I could, since I know that KVC Arts is about art,
Absolutely.
I would like to see if I could mention the 2014 calendar.
Completely, absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah. We've been talking about entertainment. Now we're at the art side of it. I've been looking forward to this.
Good. So the Autism Society and KVCR Autism Initiative have partnered in this project. We did a call for artwork by autistic individuals. And we got quite a few pieces. The call was for specifically a certain size. It had to be holiday or calendar related. And by that, I mean, like in February, you would see hearts, or in
Sure.
March, you would see. So it had to kind of match the theme of the month. And we had one young man, his name is Zachary. He did three pieces of art, and I featured all three of them in the calendar. He was just so good, and he did January, May, and I think he did December. He just nailed it. What I think it really does is, one, it's a fundraiser for KVCR and the Autism Society, but more so, it's parents getting to show off their child's artwork.
Sure.
And the young man happened to be, because we started selling him at the walk, and one man saw his artwork, and to watch his face, he wouldn't put the calendar down. He held onto it. His mom bought three, and I said, now you get one. You're going to get one anyway in the mail. As she goes, oh, he wants to send it to, you know, he's just so proud. And to watch that is everything.
You know, I have to say, it's hard enough for any of us in the art world to try to get some sort of a showing or to have your work shown somewhere, and to have a non-typical child to be able to have his or her artwork shown and seen by so many people, that is just truly, truly special.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, in one of the, and I'm really proud of this, in one of the applications when they sent the artwork in, and I don't know if he did it or his mom did the description, but it says he wants to be an artist and he wants to work for Disney and he wants to do voiceovers. So because I work at a TV and radio station, I went to our television person that does our promos for the kids mm-hmm. and said, Jessica, is there any way you'd let this young man come in and do the voices? She was so moved by it. She started crying. She said, of course, Lillian, I'd be more than happy. And I just know that when I go to the mom and say, here's your calendar, thank you for submitting, we loved it. But by the way, would you be willing to come into our studio and record some promos for Clifford Monday nights at, or whatever, it's
yeah.
a, you know, Tuesday mornings at 8, you know, uh-huh. or something like that. It's not Disney, but I think when he hears it play back, I'm sure he's going to be the biggest KVCR viewer. Because
yeah.
he'll want to hear his voice. And I just think that that'll give him hopefully some encouragement and just build his confidence. So it was a really cool thing that might happen for this young man.
How can a person get these calendars?
Okay, so I'm going to be a little one-sided on that. You could go to the Autism Society and order them there.
Okay.
Or you could go to kvcr.org/autism and order our calendars there.
Okay.
So they're $15, and the money will go right back into our Autism Initiative Fund that allows us to do more programming, more documentaries, and continue to serve the autism community. To order the calendar, you would go to our website, because I obviously want you to support the Autism Initiative, KVCR's initiative. But whenever you're looking for information for autism, if you've just gotten the diagnosis, if you have an adult that's trying to get to work, you're trying to teach that young man, usually, that young individual to work in the community, ieautism.org, which is the Inland Empire's Autism Society's website, has a wealth, so much information on there. I often think of it this way. When Grant was first diagnosed, if I had had something like that, and this was 18 years ago, I would have felt like, okay, this is what I do. Here's all the information. So while it's never exciting to get the diagnosis of autism, it is exciting to go to a source like the Autism Society that has so much resource information that just wasn't there 18 years ago. So ieautism.org is where you can go for information, and kvcr.org/autism is where you can go to buy your calendar.
Phenomenal. Okay. Gosh, Lillian, thank you so much. We've just covered several wonderful events coming up in the very near future, things that I'm really proud to be a part of, and it's really cool to be a part of KVCR, which is also a part of these events. So thank you so much, Lillian.
Thanks, David, always for the opportunity. I so appreciate it.
That was KVCR's Lillian Vasquez. Again, the website for the Autism Society Inland Empire is ieautism.org. More information also at kvcr.org/autism. That's just about going to wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks to Jeannie and Forrest O'Neill with Festivity Ignition Event Planning. Thanks to Diane Mitchell with the Hemet Community Concert Association, Murray Heppner with the Lewis Family Playhouse and the Main Street Theater Company, Steve Thomas with the Ontario Museum of History and Art. Here at KVCR, thanks to Jessica James, Shailen Blaney, Julian Miller, Lindsay Weisgarber, Anand Manuel, John Sheldon, Program Manager Rick Dulock, and Marketing Coordinator and Autism Initiative Manager Lillian Vasquez. Thanks also to contributing members who make programming possible on KVCR. A reminder, you can now get podcasts of KVC Arts, including tonight's, at our website, kvcr.org. All themes and music beds, Behind Us Now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. Thanks for listening. I'm David Fleming with you here at 91.9 KVCR San Bernardino Riverside, where you learn something new every day. Streaming online at kvcr.org, we're a service of the San Bernardino Community College District.